59 years on this planet. And what kind of God, what does my God look like? Well, he just looked like bird. If you want to see what the God of the Octurion look like, I tell you, that's the God I know. A God which I see is so witty, he's all the time playing joke, formidable sense of humor, and endless compassion. So I hope all of you see that movie, because it's really worthwhile. Now, to really beneficiate from by coming here, you have to realize what you are doing. Our great guru called his temple a school of wisdom for immortals, in which week after week, month after month, you gradually build a divine strategy, a divine edifice in life, will give you a clear sight and a clear perception in every commitment you make in life. The master said it quite simple, actually. There are two kind of people in the world. There are those who seek God sincerely and those who don't. And those who don't, as you know, the principle of reincarnation bring you back in the same schooling again and again and again and again until one finally make the grade. It is why Mahavatar Babaji say, experiencing dire fear and colossal suffering inherent to the endless cycle of reincarnation. Therefore, the more you begin to understand the whole show of God, the more you are willing to get the hell out of it. Believe me. Because indeed there are a much higher plane of consciousness in which we can live. At its very best, the master say here, is nothing but a penitentiary colony for spiritually retarded people. However, the moment you begin to develop your God-given intelligence, it becomes a school of wisdom for immortals. And therefore you begin to laugh at the antics of the world, because you begin to understand the whole, what's actually happening. And that, my dear, takes a lot of wisdom to be able to not cry and laugh looking at the present world today. So last week I spoke of a cosmic evolution known as the Yugas, in which automatically you and me descended from cosmic consciousness. Once we were one with God, we had cosmic consciousness, and gradually we are framed, as the master called God, the divine framer. God hypnotized us, put us in a state of amnesia, and make us believe this entire creation under hypnotic illusion, known as Maya. I explained to you what space and time were. Albert Einstein understood that long before anyone in the Western world could understand that concept. Time and space are states of consciousness. As the Hindu scriptures say, time is a book. Unfortunately, the pages are being turned for us. We don't turn the page. Past, present, and future are all existing simultaneously. Therefore, wherever the book is open for you, that's where you are. Let's say the book is there, 20th century, your consciousness is any angle, and you see nothing but 20th century. When actually, past, present, and future are being enacted in one colossal screen, which is finite. Albert Einstein called our universe, everything is finite, floating in the absolute. Therefore, in that big screen is past, present, and future, all existing simultaneously, for evolution is only a suggestion from God. The soul does not evolve, it gradually reawakens through a process of first coming down to cosmic consciousness, entering into mineral, vegetal, animal, and enter finally a specifically created body created by God, which explained to you last week. Our God, what was first, the chicken or the egg? What did he create first? God took a spermatozoon and an ovum and put them together, and out of that flash of light came the first human being, as explained by those who have cosmic consciousness. Not by our bodily present neuroscientists or by biologists who are far yet to the truth of the creation of human being. No, we did not descend from the ape. I think the ape deserves something better than us. So, if you can understand the concept of time and space, you begin to realize that you can jump, that those are plays. As I explained to you, each time the Big Bang come, which Mr. Carl Sagan barely touched when he spoke of India, days of Brahma, 314 trillion years, God projects everything at once with the prop man, everybody already made, all the decorum, all everything already made, like a theater. You don't wait to have a seed to grow until a tree. You put everything there and come again for 314 trillion years, the creation. And after that, everything disappears. But if at that time, when creation ends, we are talking to each other, we go into bliss. Maya is gone, your soul is free, you go back into bliss. Yet, since you have not finished your realization, next cycle of Brahma, you reappear where you were at the time. The French made a movie like that, The Visiteur d'un Soir, about 30, 40 years ago with Jules Berry. It was exactly, perfectly present. Sometimes some of those movie makers have an insight, I don't know where they get it, but it's an incredible depth. So I explained that last week. So this week I'm going to condense in 35 minutes fate, the difference between fate and destiny, karma, the laws of cause and effect, and free will. Now I would take a seminary of about 3 hours a day for at least a week to explain to you that. But if you do your duty, every day you study the lessons of Yogananda. Everything I'm telling you is in those lessons. If you study every day, not only you are going to read, but you're going to remember. Because we are omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. And all those studies is not to have a colossal intellectual baggage, to awaken to you. The greatest joke, Bertrand Russell understood it so well when he said, Lord, if you'll forgive me the little joke I did to you, I will forgive you the big one you did to me. That's the greatest truth possible. We don't even know who we are. So when Milton Berle say, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Milton Berle, and I hope you know yours. And believe me, he was correct, nobody knows their name, which is what? Sat, Chit, Ananda, ever blissfully conscious of one's eternal existence. It's you and me. We, the immortals, life after life, crawling on the mud ball of earth there, for a little money, for a little position, a little recognition, a little love, a little something. And then we die again, we come back, and we forget about everything, and we start goo goo gag gag goo goo like that. When I came back with last week from those 80 children, 85 children, the mountain for 10 days, I looked at them with great envy, you know, 9 years old already, such understanding. My God, those questions those boys were asking us, you know, how beautiful. It is marvelous when your father and your mother teach you the wisdom of God from childhood. There is no greater gift a father and a mother can give their children, to give them not only faith in God, but deep wisdom. Remember, the foundation of life is wisdom. Then love comes. Wisdom says to you, the less you know about somebody, the easier it is to love him. Isn't it? That's wisdom. You don't want to know, but just love them. And therefore, when you have wisdom, you begin to understand everything. That's why the first question I have tonight, if God is the doer of all things, and all the masters tell us, then where is the free will to act? You can forget it. Ramananda say 75% of your free will is taken away. We are nothing but human wills. We think that we are thinking. We think we are acting, when actually the cosmic power are working through us without our knowledge. Therefore, it is why when you can find a true teacher, a true master, he takes from you 25% of your karma. Therefore, at that moment, you begin to reintegrate yourself into a 50% of awareness. The veil begins to move, and you begin to remember. There's no more theory. You begin to know. And if you can convince God that you want him for him alone, then 50% more is taken away, and 75% of the veil is removed, and your 25% of effort, and you can make it. Now the second question was, if the cosmic movie of past, present, and future is already finished, how can we control our destiny? Nostradamus, of all people, asked if you have seen the movie about Nostradamus by Wolper and commentary by Orson Welles, an excellent movie. It shows with great accuracy Nostradamus could see 400 years ahead all the happening of the world. In fact, he predicted the colossal drought which is happening all over the world today, and all the starvation in Africa. He predicted that 400 years ago when the comet of Halley. So the future is already made. The movie is finished. It's all there. Everything is there on a big screen. But you can change your destiny. Fates mean that you make absolutely no effort. There's all kind of things happening to you. You just let yourself sink into the misery of experience in life when you suffer. Now, the moment you suffer physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you fight like a tigress and you fight like a lion. Then you begin to change your destiny. Because suffering is a road to remembrance. It's like to make you remember who you are. The quicker you learn, the less suffering you have. That's simple. Therefore, you can change your destiny. There is no such thing as fate to the soul. As ego consciousness, you are completely programmed. As I will explain to you, so your subconscious mind. You are completely programmed. As a soul, you have no karma. The third question, if God is free from karma, why aren't we? If he's the one who runs this entire show, why aren't we like him? You know what he said? That's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. That's all the answer to Paramahansa. So you say, thanks, Lord. Appreciate it. But remember what the Master said. You just have to say, oh Lord, God, it's created me against my will. Free me. I want to be free. If you say it loud enough and you prove to God you want to get out of here, he can free you. Remember that. But you have to want to. Now, in Galatian, in the Bible, chapter 6, verse 7 and 9, we are the laws of karma, which are explained. As Moses explained when he said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Most people have not understood those statements. He say, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. For he that soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Well, it's simple. Everything in the universe is interlocked by cosmic laws of magnetism, of electromagnetism. As you begin to have evil thoughts or evil actions or evil feeling, you automatically begin to magnetize every cell of your body with destructive energy. And being gradually magnetized within yourself with destructive energy, you draw all the misery of your life. You get raped, you get robbed, you get beaten up. You go in all kinds of circumstances which one has drawn automatically due to the laws of magnetism. Attraction and repulsion, that is karma. There is a state in between. There is positive, neutral, negative. Those are known as the three gunas, the three cosmic rhythm originating from space, positive, neutral, negative. I love you, positive. I don't care, neutral. I hate you, negative. And our mind with 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day, electromagnetic impulse entering into your brain, into your medulla oblongata, going into your cells, magnetize every cell of your body. That, my dear, is the law of karma. Therefore, you can imagine, when you watch wrong kind of movie, violent movie, foul movies, you are being magnetized without knowledge. And God cannot be mocked. Again, in Deuteronomy, he said, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, and a curse if you will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God. Those are not suggestions. God is a dictator. He has made his laws. You cannot break them. It's not suggestion. Those are commandments. And believe me, the prophet will write. Therefore, God is the maker of the three gunas, the three cosmic rhythms, which passes through every thought, every feeling, every word, every action, and leaves traces within your brain as specific habits made of biochemistry fixation. Not only biochemistry fixation, but in the molecular biology, into magnetism, powerful magnetism. Therefore, as the civilization begin to know the incredible power of the subconscious mind, in fact, today our scientists speak today of reprogramming the subconscious mind. Paramahansa Yogananda spoke of that in 1920. Therefore, we are under cosmic literature. Sri Yukteswar, the guru of that incarnation of wisdom, said, the intelligence of man cannot be properly guided until it has accepted the inescapability of karmic retribution. When I broke my foot there, I was putting some gravel on the path so nobody would get hurt. I broke my foot. I went in front of my guru in excruciating pain. I said, yes, sir. At that moment, the phone call came there in the kitchen, and one of the great saints of self-realization was just calling me at that time. And as he was talking to me, all the pain disappeared. And I said to her, well, I just broke my foot. And she said, I know. That's why I'm calling you. Now, I had accepted that as a retribution of something I did in the past. Then you don't resent anymore anything happening to you. You know that whatever happened to you, good and bad, you have done mathematically something similar to somebody else. And believe me, every human being on this planet, the mother said, within themselves, that is within their subconscious mind, a library of active memory bank containing the vibratory latent impulse of self-destructive behavior accumulated to the countless violent existence. Now we go to Lebanon now. Those people belong to the criminally insane asylum. In fact, more and more in this world, everybody is killing each other. We see constant unrest. People enjoying killing each other. Not my psychiatry. If you look psychiatry, it's criminally insane. And all of us has within ourselves those ticking bombs of the master, known as samskaras, that which influence. And therefore, it is said again, whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. With what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. Man, by the using of his free choice to do good or evil, become the creator of either his fate or of his destiny. In the news, they were showing a lady who was for 42 years in a mental asylum, and she had done nothing. It was her own family to get her money who put her in that asylum, and for 42 years she was there. You have people who go in jail for 30 years, they've done nothing. No, my dear. You can erase from your dictionary the word innocence. The cosmic IRS find you in any disguise you are wearing. Life after life, the karma find you, believe me. As I told you when I broke my faith, if you, the mafia has a contract on you and you take refuge in a monastic corner, they can't touch you. But they wait. In New York, they waited 7 years for the guy to come out, and they got him. But the karmic law found me here as a monk. I broke my faith in the ocean. Something I had done to somebody else in the past. But this time it was less painful because the ocean did it to me, not somebody. It was more honorable, but quite painful. Therefore, the mother say, man's godlike quality is free choice. Man's godlike quality is the free choice he has given to you. And I know stories about my guru and the respect, the unbelievable respect of the free will he had for his disciple is beyond belief. He always has the power to accept or refuse to act for either good or evil. Before he acts, he has freedom. But after he acts, the effect of the action will follow him. That is the laws of karma. Just as a mental conception of good will not make one good, both virtue and vice require activity. So as choice must be made, temptation has power because lack of spiritual experience make comparison between spiritual and material happiness impossible. It is utterly impossible to resist temptation of the world unless you have something better gradually given to you through meditation. You may be a man, a very moral man, a very moral woman. But gradually, through the influence of company, they can trigger some of your previous personality in your subconscious mind, which were not so strong, and therefore you will fall again. The only salvation to conquer yourself is by daily communion with God. Remember that meditation means communion with God. And also its appeal to the outward flowing current of the senses. The best way to destroy temptation is to be immersed into the happiness of God, that all other happiness will be only secondary to that sublime state. get out of the tempting environment to give your wisdom a chance to guide you. Our neuroscientists say that as you are with a group of people, they begin to alter your psycho-neuro-biochemistry in your neuron, in your brain. That's why the master says stronger than willpower is the company you are with. They have now zeroed in what actually is happening. So you begin to be more cautious with whom you meet. But why should you let evil wreck you for just a moment of false happiness? When you meditate, you will see that life is meant to be and will find completion of love and happiness therein. Keep good company. Good company stimulates your action and thoughts in the right direction. It is a hedge around your good habits. The master insists that you make an effort for that. Now he say, human beings perform two kinds of action. The first one, automatic, which is known by Freud as the unconscious. There is no such thing as the unconscious. The subconscious, the consciousness is always aware of something. When you are dreaming at night, you are in a subconscious realm. You are not fully conscious, but you are aware of your dream, right? Therefore, there is no such thing as unconscious state. So, automatic actions are due to samskaras, which are the psychological residues or blueprints of specific personalities and automatic habits deeply printed in the astral brain. Our scientists tell you, you have a mammal, you have three different kinds of brain, but they do not understand what they are. The first brain is the brain of matter, which has a mnemonic recording of everything you have done during this lifetime. They cannot bring back the past life. For instance, by probing certain parts of your brain, they can reenact in you a discussion which you have like a cassette tape. You can say every word because you are exactly experiencing the same thing, is recalled. But there is another brain called the astral brain made of energy, which the acupuncturists work with that body of energy. And there is another one which our psychiatrists are working with, which is the thoughts. So you have three brains, physical, astral, and causal. So those traces of bad habits when you leave the body and die and your body goes, remain inside the astral brain and come back to you reincarnation after reincarnation. This is why Renoir, the great exuberant French painter, said, "I loved woman even before I could walk." Now, seemingly shocking statement, isn't it? No, it's a scientific statement. Because at the age of 3 years old, your bad habits begin to gradually probe and guide your life automatically whatever they were. Pictures of boy, he's what kind of father is he? He's 16 months and smoking a cigar. There's a picture of the boy smoking a cigar, 16 months. Another one, an English boy about 2 years old with great delight smoking a pipe. You look at, oh Lord, right there, he's born. Those bad habits are very well implanted. Therefore, they are known as samskara, are the dormant traces of our past karma. As the breath links the mind with the body, similarly the samskaras link the soul with the reservoirs of karma in the subconscious mind. It is the subconscious mind that is the vehicle in which the soul travels from this plane of life to another plane of ego consciousness. That's why you have to understand what those great men like Emerson said. Small mind talk about people all the time. Average mind talk about events. Great mind talk about ideas, which they are going to carry with them in a higher world. And the wise men, they don't talk. The wise men, they learn and don't talk because they know people won't understand them. Therefore, if your subconscious mind, you understand what I explained to you, when we came from cosmic consciousness and entered into this body, if you remain your consciousness from here to here, you have cosmic consciousness. When you stay right here, you have cosmic mind. When you come from here to here, you are in superconscious state of the soul awareness. But when you come down from here to here, you are in a subconscious mind. The subconscious mind, which completely regulates your thought, your word, your feeling, and your action. That's why the master say, the only time you are truly alive, when you come in with God. Why? Because you are stepping away from the subconscious mind and all its influence, and you are the soul. You are not the mind, you are not the body. When you will die, you realize that this body was not you, and that mind was not you either. It was something grafted upon you. So, all the genetic code which people are reborn with mathematical exactitude in specific chromosome family to be reactivated to drinking, to sex, to smoking, to all those things. When you are pure, you are reborn a specifically designed family for you. Therefore, never complain about your father, about your mother being responsible for you, never. Once you understand, you realize, I am totally responsible for where I am now, or what I am. Whenever the whole world will think like that, my dear, what a beautiful world to be, isn't it? I was married 7 years, you know, and it was always my wife who was wrong. Always, she was always wrong. I knew it. Except when I became a monk, I found out there was nobody to blame but myself, and I was so full of all kind of wrong ideas. I had to change them. This present link of life is but one link in the chain of countless incarnations. Now, when you understand the subconscious mind is like a computer, and inside are the microchip of every incarnation you ever lived. Now, the vibration of individual punch card of a specific personality is. Therefore, when you are like me, for instance, I'm most of the time in peace. But don't try to walk on my toes. You see a different person for 1 second a year. If you trigger me in a different way, you see a guy completely different to what you know. That's why many people cannot understand the behavior of saints many times. You see Vivekananda and Brahmananda, those big, colossal spiritual giants, who were yelling at each other because his car went into the garden of Vivekananda. And the monks were laughing like mad to see those great giants fighting for a car and a cabbage. So we have multi-personalities in our subconscious mind that can be triggered any time by one word. And so when you are married, be careful how you treat each other. Because you can treat the words. That's why we're all that battling wife, you see. Remember, all of us have been for countless incarnation soldiers. The past 2400 years has been a long trail of blood. Descending Kali Yuga, total misunderstanding about everything, and endless war. And then 1200 years more. So all of us have those terrible tendencies of violence. And that's why we enjoy those, like Rambo 2, Exterminator. Now that's movie, the boy, 9 years old, had seen that movie. Their parents let them see a movie like that. I hope it's not what we Americans think. If this is the spirit of America, then we have the wrong kind of spirit, believe me. Therefore, this present life link is but one link of the chain of countless incarnation. Much of our karma is latent, hidden, unmanifested. As just 1/10 of an iceberg is shown above the surface and 90% is hidden in the ocean, so only a fraction of men's karmic tendencies bear fruit in our present life circumstances. We come in this world with a colossal karma which we have created, and in this lifetime we are working a very small portion. Unless you are doing Kriya Yoga. The Master say here, life which are, this is the fate of the mass now, fate. Lives which are governed solely by the unseen controller or laws of cosmic causation, karma, the hidden player of the game of life and not by true wisdom, lose their independence and cannot say yes or no where they are hurled in the righteous or evil way. Now a young boy, a mother came there crying to me because he did shoplifting. Well, I said to the mother, relax, don't make a stigma of a mistake he made. It was a mistake, forget it. I told the mother to strongly forget the thing. But the poor boy probably had to go through that experience to turn to God. Sometimes God let you go into evil way and let you experience this so you turn back toward God. Or he put you in cage, he put you in jail. When you become too naughty, too unruly, he put you in a cage called prison. And it's a pretty cruel treatment. Very few people understand that habits of the past influence their present destiny. Most human beings are unaware of the silent, secret control of human destiny by a habit hidden in the subconscious mind, attracting good or bad influences. Hence, they become fatalistic and surrender to fate instead of making greater efforts. Very few masterminds can use exclusively their power of free will to do what they want to be in life. And especially when you want to become spiritual. As long as you want to be evil, the whole world assists you. But when you want to become spiritual, all hell breaks loose. That's why so many people say, man, since I try to become spiritual, it's much harder now than before. It's correct. Because you are swimming against the current of the world. But when you leave the body, you and me, one by one, we pass and then come the judgment. That is the computation of all that thought, word, feeling, and action, and that prepares us for our next incarnation. And as I told you, there is no lawyer to defend you. The karmic laws, as I saw many times when I saw that big screen with all the various facets of my life and everything, I was able to understand at the same time. And you are confronted by it. And the master said, if you have made a spiritual effort during your lifetime, God will sit by you and show you that it was just a play, a cosmic play on the stage of time. But if you have not made any kind of effort, he will make it real for you and you will have a great pain and suffering. Therefore, the explanation of those seeds of karma in you are known as sanchitta, or dormant thought, feelings, accumulated seeds, stocked like a granary for fruition in future life. They remain dormant in the subconscious and superconscious mind. Its kinetic energy has become potential. Kinetic means as energy associated with motion. It cannot find expression until it finds proper magnetism to re-energize it. For instance, the master say, on your party, you take a great chance when you begin to serve alcohol. Because among those people can be a person which has a ticking bomb of deep alcoholism. And you can be the hand who energize the bad seeds of tendencies of self-destruction. And you will be accounted for it when you leave the body. You know, you may say, I didn't know. Well, in human law, the ignorance of law is no excuse. Now imagine with God. We are all spiritually, we are supposed to be spiritually educated by our father and by our mother. So we know the law. You become your own lawyer. You become your own psychologist. You become your own psychiatrist. Then you understand. Those are ticking bombs. I saw in my own cafe in Switzerland a marvelous man. Man, when he didn't drink, he was perfect. He was a doctor, he was a marvelous guy. He had a cafe restaurant in Geneva, Switzerland. And one day was under the influence of alcohol. He grabbed a chair and he was going to break that chair on top of his wife. One customer there jumped at him, pushed him aside, the man fell, hit his side of the tank right inside, he was killed on the spot. Right outside my cafe. One moment of violence, suddenly triggered by alcohol, you can kill somebody. Drunk driver? But we have drunk driver all the time, who are killing people by the thousands. And the karma is terrible. Then there is the, what you call the attenuator. If you have been spiritual in past life, then those seeds of karma be known as attenuated. It is not active, but can become active in a mild degree, or if stimulus is applied. Then there is the alternating, called the yo-yo syndrome. The alternating condition is that in which two opposite tendencies overpower each other, alternatively. As in the case of two lovers who sometimes become angry and affectionate alternately. Or deep enthusiasm for meditation and sudden dryness and indifference. One moment you go very interested and you drop everything else. Then finally expanded. The portion of one past section which is found to fructify in the present life and cannot be averted. It is ripe for reaping. When I broke my face, I avoid by every possible means to go to the ocean. Then Brother Dharmananda came to me and said, Turyananda, we have 14 volunteers who are helping us. You should show a better spirit. Come in the beach with us and swim with us. I obey and I broke my face. And Sri Dayamata called me and said to me on the phone, Turyananda, Did you go on a beach by yourself against my permission? I said, no. Good for you, she said. You know what would have happened if I would have disobeyed? I would have been dead. That simple. Sometime your life hang on to one little contact with God, your life can be spared. You have no idea how God can is willing to protect you if you abide to the Lord. Therefore it is right for reaping, and only the grace of the Guru and his instruction given in his teaching can disentangle the disciple from deep-seated bad habits of the past. I told you I was paralyzed for 1 month. A woman came at the Lake Shrine from nowhere. She talked to me, and I've seen that woman before. She said, can I look at your hand? Then I realized that you don't go to see those things. You don't have to know, but me it was to learn something. She said, well, did you know you were supposed to be paralyzed the rest of your life? In fact, when I went to emergency, I thought I'd broken my neck. It was the closest ever I came to break my neck. And according to my karma, I was supposed to have broken neck. So the Master say, I believe that any man may become what he wants to become if his prenatal habits do not influence his free choice under the guise of heredity. Prenatal habits establish themselves in the subconscious mind and try to influence the discriminative power of the conscious mind. Therefore, the Master say, a mind attuned with avidya constantly behold duality and worship duality. A mind attuned with vidya behold oneness. When you begin to live in oneness, you embrace the whole world. You have no more limitation between black, blue, brown, green, any kind of races, any kind of religion. As long as one insists in separativeness, in avidya, in division. Therefore, a seed must be deprived of their germinating power under the influence of heat and cold. Similarly, the accumulated karma may be rendered ineffective by the force of intuitive wisdom gains direct communion with God. And by the practice of sending a high voltage of energy from the superconsciousness of the soul to the various techniques of self-realization. Each time you see that light here, each time beneficial change take place into your brain. Each time you feel peace, and the Master say, you've moved that peace upon both lobes of the brain here, it begin to transform, a genetic transformation into your brain. Therefore, each time you meditate, and the scientists are explaining that very clearly now, what's actually happening into your brain when you meditate. Complete transformation take place. Therefore, your undesirable karma cannot be destroyed without contact with God. When you are able to bring in the light of wisdom, you will drive out all the darkness and undesirable actions that befriend God. If a soul is determined to meditate a great deal, he can destroy all the bad karma of his past life in this one life. Self-realization teaches very high techniques to quicken your evolution of man. The fire of deep meditation cauterizes the brain grooves, which contain the record of bad karmic tendencies of past life, and has overcome the hidden evil. What he meant by cauterizing, he meant there that the RNA, the ribonucleic acid in each neuron, there are more possibility in your brain to change your personality than there are molecules in the universe. Astronomical numbers of specific chemistry to make you think and feel and act in a certain way. The great laboratory is in your neuron. The more understanding you have of your brain, the more you want to protect it, to live it. Therefore, the life force one centralized in the brain by deep meditation is of peaceful character. It stimulates the harmonious traces of good action left in the roots of the brain. Yes, because the subconscious mind has the memory bank of every good and bad you have done in the past. To assist on the fight against bad karma, you have the good tendencies of all lives, plus God in contact with him eternally. If the Lord did not show mercy and give special amnesties and divine parole from sin, his erring children would suffer indefinitely life after weary life. If a man tried by self-discipline to remove the mountainous load of past error, God comes to the rescue. When he feels that his child is sufficiently repentant, there lies one of the great secrets of the spiritual life. Do you repent in life of what you are doing wrong? To yourself, you don't have to tell anybody, you don't have to go to confession. Your conscience is God's intelligence vibrating to you. You have a human intelligence which endlessly lies to you, and you have a divine intelligence, and your conscience is God's intelligence. Therefore, the mother says, if you become repentant of your offense, you destroy the age-old darkness of sin instantaneously, manifesting the liberating light of his presence. As soon as you touch God, you go beyond the laws of cause and effect. Next week, I will continue. No, next week it will be the satsang. But I will continue that subject because it's too long for you. But the main point here, he said, when you convince God that you want him above all else, you will be attuned with his will. Then the disciple is freed from chains that make him an earthly prisoner. And his own higher will, self-will, will become operative. The devotee make this surrender at first, perhaps reluctantly, only to find himself in possession of a divine will of which he was entirely unconscious. Also, he feels the influx of power flowing into him to whom he has made the surrender. So the Guru is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent with full power. He was like us once, and he graduated to that state. He has the power, he said, God has shown me the secret thoughts of man and given me the power to remove them when man is willing. And a human being is willing, said, Lord, here I am. With all my misunderstanding, I come here to give myself to you. And every day you say, my Lord, I surrender to be my body, my mind, my heart, and my soul to you, my Lord. Chisel me now according to thy design. When you dare to do that to God, God is interested. So my dear, study your lessons every day, because whatever I tell you may sound awfully complicated, yet it's about so simple. We can explain that to the kids. They understand. In fact, one guy outwitted me, 3 years old. One guy. He was lying in front of me. I said, don't ever lie in front of me. Superman and Spider-Man never lie. And he said to me, 3 years old, yeah, but the guy who wrote those stories may not necessarily tell the truth. What do you say to that? Huh? That guy beat me in logic. So my dear, it is not a process of stuffing yourself with high metaphysics. It's a matter of inner awareness by gradual intuitive perceptions. And the more you begin to realize that we are humanoid in this world, that until you begin to assert yourself and begin to face not people, face yourself. I have no problem with the world, but this fellow here has given me a lot of problems. When you begin to have no more time to be in trouble with people, you are beginning your spiritual life. You may have now a love offering. Do whatever you can, realizing that everything is given the spreading of this work. We had one teacher for every 7 children. So those children were well trained. And for them I was the Marine Sergeant. So I was talking louder than I ever spoke in my life. But I told them each time we have to correct you and bring you out 1 teacher for 8. And each time their counselor had to take them out of table because of bad manner. I told them, you cause great pain to your teacher. Because we are not here to control you, we are not here to discipline you, we are here to love you, we are your divine friend, and we have only one goal in life, to give you the greatest possible knowledge to avoid suffering. And finally they helped me to clean up 400 windows. I got them finally to do something. We pray with me, beloved God. Bless us offering.
Bless us offering.
That it may help. To carry the message of love and wisdom.
Lord,
to sing the soul.
Lord, to sing the soul.
Om. Peace.